You just give me a thumbs up if we are actually live. We are. Okay, that's incredibly confusing. Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm John Iderola, and something like our normal show is probably gonna happen from here on out. Anyway, I'm very glad to have you here. Not only, there we go, now the monitor's working. Very glad to have you here, not only because we have a lot of incredibly important and or interesting news, including animal news coming up a little bit later, but we also have a special treat joining us on the show for the first time ever. A.B. Bernstucker, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, thank you for having me.
Very excited to have you here. Fans of the network might have seen your appearance with J.R. Jackson yesterday on the watch list, but if they didn't see that, tell us a little bit about yourself and your work.
Definitely. So boom. I am better known as I Am Legally Hype on the internet these days. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. I'm all around. I'm actually a law student and I do commentary, legal and political commentary, but I do it with a little bit of flavor. We call it AAVE, or when I was growing up, we call it Ebonics, right? So I just put a little oomph on it when we give information. So that's a little bit about myself.
Well, I'm even more excited for the show now, and I can't wait to see that. And I'm like mentally fast forwarding to some of our shows and imagining how you're gonna add that oomph to a few of these. Oh, geez, okay. Near the end of the first hour, I can see that really coming into play. So everyone, prepare yourself for that as we roll forward with the show. We do have a lot to talk about. In advance of all that, dear audience, please hit the like button and share the stream so that people know we're live. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, either to myself or to AB, we'll respond as we go. Oh, also, early heads up that although I haven't been hyping it throughout this week, today is our monthly members hangout. So to you tier three members over on YouTube, we're gonna be hanging out about a half an hour after the close of our show. So everyone prepare for that as well. But with all that said, AB, are you ready to start the show?
Absolutely, let's go.
Okay, let's do it then. Apparently, we might be moving a step or two closer to actual legal consequences for Donald Trump. I know it sounds impossible and it probably won't come true, but according to a group of prosecutors with the Department of Justice, they believe that Trump could be charged with obstruction in the stolen documents Mar-a-Lago scandal. But they haven't yet made any formal recommendation on whether he should be charged. And at the end of the day, it's not gonna be them that's gonna make that decision. It's gonna be Attorney General Merrick Garland. They're apparently split, not really on the substance of the charges or the substance of the law, but if whether it would be advisable to charge Trump given the potential political ramifications. And for like, this is the least surprising thing that could be potentially staying their hand. And it's also, I think to me at least, the worst reason to not pursue justice. If you know that someone broke the law, if it's clear indeed that they also obstructed the investigation into them breaking the law, and the only thing that might stop you from actually charging them is, well, I don't know politically what's gonna happen. That is just that. Look, first of all, that's the story of Donald Trump's entire political career, being protected by a variety of overlapping layers of privilege. But it's also incredibly distressing considering that he has shown time and again over the past few years that when you let him get away with crimes, he doesn't count his lucky stars and then swear to never crime again. It only emboldens him. And so we're gonna see if they do. This doesn't prove that they will, it doesn't prove that they won't. If they do, it might take a little while. I was hoping maybe that we would hear something before the midterms, but apparently sources inside the DOJ are saying that it likely wouldn't be until after Christmas, certainly not in the next few weeks before the midterms. And we're gonna get into if they were to charge him for these particular crimes that they're talking about, what sort of consequences there could be. But AB, I'm curious, you have a legal background, whereas I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to this stuff. So what do you think about the debate that they appear to be having over focusing on obstruction, at least as one big part of it? And like, to what extent do you think they should be considering the political ramifications?
Okay, so boom, honestly, I think that is really important when it comes to a case this serious, because what we don't want is for people to think like, oh, they're just playing this game just because they don't want him to run for president. You want people to have faith in the justice system, in our legal system. And so if they charge him too early, right, before the elections, it can look like the Department of Justice is just kind of muddying the waters right before the election, so whatever team they're supposedly on can win, right? So sometimes, which is why most of the time, DOJ DOJ does not touch anyone who is a potential candidate, right, or is involved in an election. They normally don't put anything out there. Now, granted, they didn't follow that rule when it came to Hillary. I don't know if you remember that. They went ahead and went against the better grain and did that, and we see how it turned out, right? So I don't know if they've learned their lesson from that case, but I think it's good to hold out. The only issue with that on the other side is like, if it was anybody else, would you do the same thing? So it looks like we're giving favoritism, right, to an individual who has been implicated in I don't know how many crimes, all his friends, partners, you know what I'm saying, the person who washed his car, whoever make his potato salad, they didn't caught charges already, had to plead and all kind of stuff. So now it looks like, okay, but if you're the big dog causing all the issues, how come we're not prosecuting you?
Yeah.
So can go either way.
Yeah, I get that. And I think that a lot of what you just said is definitely on their mind. It is frustrating to me for a variety of different reasons. I mean, as you pointed out, he's not a sitting politician. He's not a candidate for office right now. He hasn't been a candidate for office for more than a year and a half. How much of a buffer are we supposed to provide for him? And by the way, you might have seen over the past couple of weeks, Fox talking about how hot they are for some sort of investigation into Hunter Biden. They just did a mock trial, notably close to an election, mind you. Weird. It almost seems political. They were looking at Nancy Pelosi's husband, apparently for good cause, but it was also kind of close to an election. Weird that they would do that. They don't actually mean this. They don't want it to be investigated literally ever. If they do it in December or January, you can make up a month. It doesn't matter. They're going to have a problem with it. And by the way, like, it's convenient for them to now turn around and say, you can't charge him right now, when he was delaying the investigation into this document scandal for a very long time. They would have loved to have gotten those documents back right after inauguration, or preferably have him not steal them at all. He kept delaying it, and then he wanted the special master, and that delayed it even more. And so at what point do we just have to say, if this is suspiciously close to the election, it's your fault, dude. Like, you're the one who is asking for this. Now, if there is some sort of charges that eventually come about, let's try to get an idea of what the actual consequences could be. Again, it's probably not gonna happen. And if it does, it'll be after Christmas. But anyway, the federal statute that Trump is being investigated under that involves obstruction of this sort carries a potential fine or prison sentence of up to 20 years. However, it would be super weird if they only charged him with obstruction, assuming they do charge him with obstruction. There's obviously some sort of underlying crime. Those sorts of crimes could carry fines, prison sentences of an additional 3 to 10 years. I find it inconceivable that we will ever live in a reality where he's going to be sentenced to 30 years in prison, AB, but I don't know. I've been beaten down by the daily flood of the news. Do you have any hope?
I do not see him getting nowhere near 30 years in prison, right? Honestly, when you're risking putting a former president in prison who has the power to get people to act up however he want them to just by using their words, right? Yeah. So that's a dangerous position that you're putting him in right there. As much as most of us believe it's time for you to do some jail time, right? You do the crime, go ahead and do your time. It's very unlikely, especially in the heat with the DOJ right now, when you got the Republican Party talking about cancel them, right? We need to, they're hurting us. The same treatment we've been getting for years. I'm gonna just put it out there like that. But yeah, I don't see him going to prison for that long. He might get a slap on the wrist. But honestly, I think all of it comes down to, we don't want you to run this country ever again. We don't care if you go to jail, just stay away from the White House. Stay away from politics, period.
I just wish I could get all of these annoying rich guys to just buy an island and go there, or Mars if you prefer.
Well, they did that with Jeffrey Epstein, and then you see what happened.
True.
So we probably don't want them to do that anymore.
Yeah, I guess I should be careful what I wish for. Anyway, let's turn to another angle on this. Donald Trump, according to sources inside of his team, might have a wily strategy to try to get the DOJ off his back when it comes to this document scandal. They're apparently weighing whether they should allow federal agents to come back to Mar-a-Lago again and potentially conduct what they're calling a supervised search. In this case, I guess Trump, or maybe the sons would be there or something, to satisfy the DOJ's demands that all sensitive government documents have been returned. And the sources are saying the general belief is that this is so much ado about nothing, and the sooner we get past it, the better. But they do point out, despite Donald Trump's like forward facing confidence and like braggadocio. Like he's pretending as if this doesn't bother him at all. They're saying he wants to move on. He's worn down. Getting one thing off his plate would help him move forward. And I haven't really thought too much about Trump's state of mind because I don't particularly care. And I hope that he's suffering a ton every single day. But like, I think about how deeply exhausted I am by the news every day. And then you look at Donald Trump, how tired must he be at all times? So I'm sure he is pretty worn down. But AB, the idea that he could just have the feds come back again. They get into the secret, the double secret closet, I guess, or the crawl space, wherever he's hiding the last few documents. And then everything's cool. I could almost imagine that working because the DOJ sucks and they let rich and powerful people get away with murder. But can you imagine if you robbed a bank and they tracked you down and they recovered what they thought was all the money? And then you're like, okay, I guess technically I still have more. You can come get it. And then we're good, right? Like, how could that possibly be justice?
It's not justice, right? But that's why they say that MAGA, MAGA stands for make attorneys get attorneys now. Because what you did is that you said that you gave everything back. And you even had Fox News out here saying the same thing. Oh, he gave all the documents back. Why y'all running up in his house bothering him? Why are you starting this whole show? They made it seem like it was set it off in front of Mar-a-Lago, right? And the reality is like you didn't give all the documents back, which is why they got to keep coming back. But now your attorneys that have vouched for you, they didn't do their job, right? Like they're being derelict in their own duties because they have signed off on documents saying that you gave everything back. So he should be tired because not only is he in the hot seat, but now the attorneys who have been helping you or whoever's on your team, they're in the hot seat too because they've been carrying on your lie. So I think the justice may not come from him necessarily going to prison, right? Which most of us probably are like, you probably need to go ahead and go to prison. The justice is gonna come from your name is gonna be so dirty in these streets, right? You are not gonna be welcome because now you're a liability everywhere. Even if you try to run again, these corporations got enough issues that they're dealing with. They're not gonna wanna deal with you in the background, right? The lawyers, when they start losing their license, we already see Rudy Giuliani, he was already dirty, should have had his license lost a long time ago, but he lost it behind messing with Trump, right? And supporting Trump and what he had going on. So when enough people start realizing that you are just, you bad luck, we probably should stage you up a little bit, the justice will come in that way because everybody's gonna be like, we cool, we're not supporting that, we're not dealing with it. And we'll have a whole nother issue similar to MAGA to deal with, but at least that one will be out the way.
Yeah. Whatever is coming after MAGA is not gonna be great. I think we should all buckle up for probably the rest of our lives. That's really fast. That's always the way too. Like, I don't know how long you've been like actively following politics, but like, or political media, I should say. But I remember when like the really like annoying toxic commentators were like Bill O'Reilly, Ann Coulter, Michelle Malkin, and they sucked, but it's worse now. It turns out that what comes after those people is actually worse. So we'll see. I'm sure he's worn down. This is comical. When have you ever heard of theft being wiped clean because you just give back what you? We did a story yesterday of a guy. Exactly, it's not an excuse. There was this guy who thought that his next door neighbor's bike had been stolen by someone, and he saw a different person riding a bike. So he ran up and started choking the guy. That guy suffered more consequences when he wasn't even involved in the theft than Donald Trump has, when literally no serious person disputes that he actively knowingly broke the law many, many times. It's very frustrating. Anyway, in terms of him knowingly doing something, we're gonna turn to just one more sort of related topic. Came out just in the last day that a US District Court judge, this is David Carter, put out an 18-page opinion. And in it, amongst other things, he identified that in his belief, Donald Trump knowingly lied about specific figures when it came to voter fraud in lawsuits he was involved in. And that in theory could have some sort of legal ramifications for a regular person. Trump is probably gonna be fine. David O. Carter says the emails show that President Trump knew that the specific numbers of voter fraud were wrong, but continued to tout those numbers both in court and to the public. And the reason that the way that they know that he knew it was wrong was these are emails coming from John Eastman. And John Eastman had been advising them to stop using these numbers because they knew they were wrong. They used them again in more court cases. Trump signed off saying that he believed all this be true. So there's a very robust paper trail. Despite that, we want to be fair. Donald Trump did respond. He bleated on Truth Social about this, saying, "Who's this Clinton appointed judge in quotation marks, David Carter, who keeps saying and sending to all very nasty, wrong and ill-informed statements about me on rulings or case, whatever, currently, are you 10, currently going on in California that I know nothing about, nor am I represented. With that being said, please explain to this partisan hack that the presidential election of 2020 was rigged and stolen. Also, he shouldn't be making statements about me until he understands the facts, which he doesn't." Which is almost like a perfect response, because he is responding to a clear paper trail demonstrating that he was told that numbers he was using were false, and then he decided to keep using them anyway. So why wouldn't he say that the judge pointing out that that's wrong doesn't understand the facts? Again, like, I guess there's a lot of articles about this development over the past day. You know, New York Times is a write-up, lots of places have write-ups. And I kept looking at more and more. And the reason I did that was I kept looking for, so what's the consequence for doing this? And there was really nothing about it. Like, I guess you can just lie. I guess that's just fine. Sworn statements, just lying about numbers that form the basis of voter fraud lawsuits that you're filing in multiple courts. I guess you could just get away with that, AB. I don't know. You're the trained lawyer. Does that track with your experience?
Law student.
Still, sorry.
I'm graduate till May. Well, you think so, right?
I'm gonna round up. You're close.
I'm this close, right? When you think about the president, right? We give them a pass on certain things because we're like, oh, we want them to be able to do their job, right? But this is the thing. We can say that the election was rigged, right? Because it was. It was rigged against the people who were legally eligible to vote, who a lot of Republican legislators made it hard for them to vote or impossible for them to vote, right? That's what was rigged. It was rigged by Trump when he told his supporters not to mail in their mail-in ballots. You stole the election from Biden, for Biden, if you ask me, because you told your people not to vote. You told them, oh, don't use the mail-in ballots, right? So the only numbers we see are the numbers where people were suppressed from being allowed to vote, legally eligible to vote and not doing it. And then you telling your own people like, no, don't mail in your ballots. And so they didn't. And so you rigged it yourself if you want to make that argument. On the other hand, there is no legal consequence, right? Because we don't really have the same voter protections that we had years ago, right? Before 2013, we'll say. So those things are kind of, you know, pushed to the wayside a little bit. And so he may not get consequences for lying. But it's this particular lie on top of the other lies and stealing the documents that may all come together in one crime, right? Because now you're seeing intent and now you're seeing the actions behind the intent. So that could lead to him being charged with something else and being found guilty of something else, but it just won't be this particular lie. That lie is just gonna add to the other group of issues he got.
I'm really glad that you reminded me about their messaging around the mail-in ballots, because of course it isn't just that they're against it as a policy, but yeah, you're right. They were actively inspiring their voters to not take part and to say that the election is gonna be fraudulent and that their vote isn't gonna count. Madness. And then they weren't happy to just do that in the 2020 presidential election. Then with the fate of the Senate, like in the balance, they told people that they wouldn't be able to trust the Georgia election either. In advance of it, they told them not to vote, and they were close elections. Massive idiots. It's like when they told, you know, they told their fans for a year and a half, COVID's not real, you shouldn't do anything about it. And then like when we passed 1 million people dead, they were like, isn't this so bad that Biden has failed on COVID? Like, can you take these things seriously and then you won't have to complain about them later on? Anyway, we'll see what ends up happening with this. Often we will end stories like this saying that we're gonna be keeping track of it and letting you know. But honestly, at this point, there's too many legal challenges to Trump. I'm not gonna. Somebody out there, could you take care of this one and let me know, and then we'll get back to you about it. Anyway, with that said, we've got a break coming up. Give me a quick indication. Are we going to a social break, Ashley? Are we gonna fully break? Fully break. Social break. Okay, smooth show, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back in just a few. Okay, that's enough American politics for just a bit. Let's hop over the pond, starting with this.
Mr. Speaker, I am a fighter and not a quitter. I am resigning as leader.
I mean, that is awesome. Come on. Great job by the recount there. That is a bold statement to make less than 24 hours before you pack your bags and head on down that old dusty trail. Anyway, Liz Truss is out. I would love to say that it was nice knowing you, but I barely know anything about you, and what I do know is not nice. So goodbye. She resigned after just 6 weeks in office as Prime Minister of Britain. She had been in power for 45 days, which is several Scaramucci's. So it's not the most embarrassing thing to happen politically in the past few years, but it does make her the shortest serving prime minister in Britain's history. In particular, she got off on really the wrong foot, launching what they referred to as Trussonomics, this absolutely massive, like historic tax cut for the wealthiest people in Britain. It was a period of politics over there that felt very much like American politics over the past couple of decades. And she's now gone. They announced that they were going to be reversing that. We'll see what ends up happening. But now they need a new leader of the Conservative Party. They'll get a new prime minister as well. And that's going to happen over the next week. We don't know exactly who it's going to be. A lot of names have been thrown around, and I'm probably not familiar with any of them, except that there's the possibility that Boris Johnson could potentially step back up. That seems ridiculous. So why not? AB, what do you think?
I mean, that's what they get, because they ran LG Bojo, Boris Johnson, up out of there real quick, right? And obviously, like, you know, the things that were going on in the background are terrible, but you just replace bad with worse, right? Who thinks in their right mind that at a time like this, when everyone is suffering, that the best way to handle the economy is to not tax the wealthy? Right, reduced, like, it made absolutely no sense. And then she kept flip-flopping here and there. So why would we not expect her to flip from yesterday to flop to today? She's been flip-flopping since she got her position. So she did exactly what everyone, when someone shows you who they are, you should believe them. And so we should believe that she's a flip-flopper.
Yeah, well, look, to answer your question about who would think that the solution to all of their economic problems was to reduce taxes on the wealthy, every Republican in America and some Democrats as well. It's ridiculous, but it's my favorite sort of thing in politics, where you propose a solution to a problem that has absolutely no chance of addressing it, but you don't care because you're not trying to solve that problem. Like, at the end of the day, you're supposed to pretend that you're trying to solve that problem. You're trying to solve a different problem. Liz Truss was not trying to solve Britain's economic problems by lowering taxes on the wealthy. She was trying to solve the problem of taxes being too high in the views of the wealthy. Like, they don't like being taxed, and they'd love for it to stop. And so to bring this back to America very briefly, I don't know what the state of the American economy is going to be in late 2023, early 2024. But I do know that whether the economy is booming or whether we're in a recession, whoever runs on the Republican side for president is going to be proposing tax cuts for the wealthy as a solution to the problem, or something we can afford to do because the economy is doing well. I don't know what the justification is going to be, but that's definitely what's going to be on offer. Really fast though, I just want to provide a little bit of, I guess, credit to the Daily Star, which there was this op-ed about Liz Truss when she first got into power, predicting that she would not outlast a wet head of lettuce. And so they decided to do a tracker. They got a head of lettuce, I think it was 62p, and they put it up there. It looks good, nice, crisp, green, great googly eyes. And indeed, the lettuce did outlast Liz Truss. I don't know if they were like moistening it to keep it fresh, but it lasted. There was a little video, and you can watch it online. And I think it has some fast-paced music. It's very fun. Anyway, it looks just embarrassing. I have a feeling though, AB, that they're probably not gonna learn much from this. They might indeed totally backtrack on some of the economic proposals, but it's not like they no longer want those things. They're just gonna be scheming for how long do we have to wait, under what economic circumstances, that we can once again try to accomplish this mission, I think.
So I think part of the issue though is, like, they told her from jump when she even made the proposal, like, this isn't gonna work right now, so we probably shouldn't move like this, and she didn't listen, right? And then there was all this drama that happened in the background where it sounds like people who didn't necessarily agree with the policy were kind of forced to pretend like they agreed. So I think that's a whole nother issue as well. And I like, of course, rich people don't want to be taxed, right? But it makes the most sense right now when you're trying to level out the economy. But their argument is like, well, if you tax us more, then we have to outsource our work, right? Then we can't give American people jobs, right? Or it's gonna cost us more. And it's like, that's not necessarily how this works. So if you don't even understand how the economy works, right? You probably shouldn't be in control of the finances around there. So that's like a part of the big issue. Like, we got to figure something else out, but she was down bad from jump.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I was just told by a member of the audience that the live stream of the head of lettuce apparently had 20,000 concurrent viewers, which is not quite 4 times what we have right now, but still a little bit depressing. Do I need to have more produce on, maybe just sitting in the background? I'll get some like cabbage or something. Is that what people are into? I'm not as tapped into TikTok as you are. Is that the new thing?
Anything that just keeps someone focused, right?
Okay.
Put a tomato. Let's see how the tomato does. Is it a fruit or is it a vegetable? I don't figure it out.
Okay, everybody, we're gonna change up our gears significantly and give you an idea of what some right-wing activists are trying to accomplish across America. Republicans in Idaho are trying to pass a bill to ban public drag shows. And I wanna be very clear about what they're trying to do, because I understand that for months and months now, Republicans have been trying to convince you that everything that they're saying about drag shows, about the trans community, about the LGBTQ community more broadly, is about saving the children. But it is becoming increasingly difficult to believe that literally at all. When they go from talking about like medical care for trans children to banning it outright for adults, kind of puts the point to their lie. And now they're not talking about banning drag shows that kids are at. They're talking about just banning them. They do not want it to exist. And I want to give you the details. Blaine Kanzati is the president of the Idaho Family Policy Center. As a rule, if you're new to American politics, any organization that has words like the Family Policy Center in it is definitely bad. That's just how it works. It'll never miss. Says no child should ever be exposed to sexual exhibitions like drag shows in public places, whether that's at a public park or a public library. Again, what is supposed to be necessarily sexual about this, I have no idea. I don't often hear people say that being at the beach is a naturally sexual thing, despite the fact that people are showing more flesh there. You know, Donald Trump ran beauty pageants. Are those necessarily sexual? No, of course not, because that's something that is generally designed for straight people to get off to. They don't have a problem with that. When it's something like this where it's queer culture, then suddenly instinctively they feel like it's sexual and thus threatening. So their draft bill that this individual is putting together is supposed to be introduced as soon as the legislature gets underway. We don't know exactly what it's going to say or who is going to sponsor it, but we do know that the basis for it is absolute BS. So this individual cited a particular case where a drag performer was supposed to have exposed their genitalia to children. You might have seen that going around all over right-wing media. It wasn't true. It was a doctored video. They don't care. There were no apologies. And they're still using that as justification to ban drag shows. But in particular, his reason for it, he says that drag is inherently a sexualized caricature of gender. He says it's like blackface. And this, by the way, has been an argument that has absolutely taken off on the right over the past, feels like a few weeks. Says you overemphasize certain natural characteristics so much that it becomes a caricature of itself. Which, even if you believe that that's true, I still don't understand what the sexual part of it is. But anyway, AB, what do you think about this?
So drag shows have nothing, they are not related in any capacity to blackface, right? So when you think about the idea of blackface, it was to intentionally keep a particular race of people, black people, out of certain positions and jobs, right? We didn't want them participating. And so white people would rather paint their faces than to allow black people to be actors or to be in theater. when you think about drag, right, there's a completely different context. What about when you go to the circus and there's clowns, right? And people are dressed up, right? Like this, it's an act, it's performance, right? And then think about the fact that the First Amendment, even if we do want to say it's sexual, right? It's obscene, it's indecent for children in particular. The First Amendment protects that, right? There are First Amendment protections for things such as having porn shops, right? Or being able to share that type of material. So this is going to be a big issue. Like it's going to get litigated further if they even do try to put this on the books, but you're really violating people's First Amendment rights just because you're being biased, right? And for you to look at drag and feel that there's a sexual nature to it goes to question your sexual interest. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that I can see in the chat some people are speculating that someone maybe accidentally came across a show and felt a bit tingly, and now it has to become a whole national thing. That might be possible, but I also think the simpler explanation is just it's a convenient dodge. They want their base to be focused on this. They're not interested. The politicians are not, like, tons of politicians haven't made their entire political career so that someday they can end drag shows. They don't actually care about that. They care about the economic policy, but they can't win office being honest about what they want to do economically. And so they have to focus on the drag shows. And think about what they're doing here. Not only are they saying that they're inherently sexual, but they're implying that they're inherently predatory. That the reason these need to be stopped is because a kid might walk by at some point or see it or hear of it or whatever. Drag shows are not about predators. They're not about children. They're not about any of that. Okay, it's a culture. You could learn about that. They're not interested, so they're not gonna find out. But they are trying to train people to think that drag performers are inherently predators. It's just the groomer thing again, and they don't care what damage is done. We've already talked about the death threats earlier this week that came after a drag story hour, I think it was, at a dog shelter. They don't care if these people get harassed or if they get beaten or if they get murdered. This is a convenient thing for them to focus on. And so we can expect more of it. By the way, there's a related issue also. And again, it's everything like this has to go national eventually. So let's jump into this right now. Republicans are introducing a bill right up in the lead up to the midterms. It's effectively very similar to the Don't Say Gay bill of Florida, but they want to do it nationally. They want it to be a full national policy. Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana, 32 other members of Republican members of Congress earlier this week introduced the Stop the Sexualization of Children Act of 2022, which would prohibit the use of federal funds to develop, implement, facilitate, or fund any sexually oriented program, event, or literature for children under the age of 10 and for other purposes. So what is sexually oriented material? It's any depiction, description, or simulation of sexual activity, any lewd or lascivious depiction or description of human genitals, or any topic involving gender identity, gender dysphoria, transgenderism, sexual orientation, or related issues. And do you see the magic trick that they performed right there? So what does sexually oriented mean? Well, a graphic depiction of a penis or literally trans people just existing. Not in a sexual context, not talking about sex, not showing sex. Literally, the acknowledgement that people exist is the same thing as a graphic depiction of sex. That is the trick that they're playing here. They want to use this idea that we need to save the children, the extension of the whole QAnon thing, to now say anything having to do with gender identity, literally at all, transgenderism, anything about sexual orientation, literally acknowledging that gay people exist is the same thing as graphic video of sexual acts. And that's what they're running on nationally in the run up to these midterms, AB.
That is a dangerous position for them to be in, especially considering the fact that they don't want abortions, right? Even if rape, incest, anything like that. So what you're doing is deciding not to teach children about safe sex, right? Just understanding the aspect of sex for the sake of discriminating against a population that you don't agree with, right? But at the same time, while you say you want to protect the children, you're not protecting the children when they are raped, or if they have an unsafe pregnancy, right? If they are potentially not gonna even make it from a woman's womb, right? You're not protecting children. What you are protecting is your bias. You are protecting the fact that you just don't like a population of people who aren't the same as you, or better yet, who won't vote for you.
Yeah, 100%. concludes, one of the individuals concludes by saying the Democrat Party and their cultural allies are on a misguided crusade to immerse young children in sexual imagery and radical gender ideology. No, they're not. They're not. So here's the thing. I'm gonna talk to these individuals as if they actually care about any of this, which they don't. Let's be clear about that. Some kids are gay. Some kids are bi. Some kids are asexual. Some kids are trans. That is true. And I'm speaking generally there, but I mean in every single country across every single time period, that is always going to be the case. You can't stop that. Not allowing them to know these words or read about in a book or see it on TV or whatever doesn't change that. All you can do is maybe make them feel not accepted. You can make them feel not loved. You can make them feel ashamed or fearful, stigmatized. You can maybe do that. You can increase the net amount of suffering in the world. You can do that. You can't change these kids though, because they're always going to be that way. Nobody is transing a kid. Nobody is making someone become gay. That's not how any of that works. And they know that that's not how it works, because if you were to ask them, okay, so if you could just show someone a book and they become trans, how many books would I have to show you to make you trans or gay or bi or whatever? And they would say, never, that's impossible. And yet they believe that it's true for everyone else. It's not. That's not how it works. All they're doing is trying to drive entire cultures back into the closet. That's literally it. Any other thoughts, AB?
Yeah, I just think that they should go back into the closet and just let us be people and live our lives, right? Like, you are literally promoting hate for the sake of votes. And that's a sad position to be in when this is the United States of America, right? Where we are supposed to be the land of the free and the land of the brave. So be brave enough to learn, love people who just don't think and look like you. And be brave enough to love these children enough to educate them about the choices that they have in life, right? Y'all came here, we came here as Americans, right? To have an option to live a better life and not be under the king's rule, right? And not be forced to live a way that we don't agree with. And yet, the Republican Party every day is trying to find an excuse to not allow people to live and have the same freedoms that they possess or they want to continue to have. And when they think that their freedoms are going to get taken away from them or their power is going to be taken away from them, what they do is they try to suppress everyone else. So they are fueling the same hate and the same damage that they believe these books would impose on their children. They are doing it, and it's way worse because the kids have the internet, right? So even if they don't get it in a book, they can get it from Google. And kids get phones younger and younger these days, so you can't hide the information from them. As opposed to hiding the information and hiding the truth, why don't you just teach it to them in a loving, open way so they can make their own decisions?
I am getting a little bit scared when I think about how you say they can't hide on the internet, but like, I don't know, maybe for 2024, it's gonna be a bill to literally ban any references to this stuff on the internet. I don't know. Now, I understand people think that's impossible. They're the free speech party. Well, first of all, wake up and join 2022. They don't care about anything like that. They're banning thousands of books. But yeah, we'll see what they might do to the internet at some point. Yeah, it's just, they are extremely wealthy people pointing at other groups and saying, hate them. Don't focus on me and the accrued wealth that I have, the economic inequality that my policies have created. Hate that person, whether because they're Muslim or they're black or they're gay or whatever. Just hate, you guys all hate each other, and we're gonna be having fancy dinner parties if you need us. That's basically what all American politics is. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna have a little bit of fun on the other side of this break. AOC had some protesters show up at one of her town halls, some right wingers, and she had a fun little response to them. We'll be back with that in just a sec. Okay, everybody, let's have perhaps a little bit of fun. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was having a town hall, and some conservative protesters showed up and decided to shout over her and her constituents for about 20 minutes. And she responded in a way that was, yes, condescending, but also kind of fun. Take a look. So at the end there, AOC is responding to one of the signs that just said F AOC, except it didn't just have the letter, it had the whole word. Very, very classy. Anyway, AOC, obviously, she likes to have fun. She also likes to have town halls where people can ask questions and make comments and stuff like that. And that wasn't able to happen because of the protesters. But anyway, I understand it's complex, but AB, what do you think?
I think that is the first time that I have seen that group of people be on beat like that. So that was like a cool, you know, hey, that was a moment. We probably will never see that anytime soon ever again. So they came real prepared.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm prepared to say that Ben Shapiro is gonna lose his mind over her dance for two reasons. One, that it is mocking right wingers, and two, does any of us want him to be live on a day in which AOC is on video dancing? He's going to not be able to focus on literally anything else. But anyway, look, you get to protest things. You even get to protest politicians that I like. That woman had a free speech shirt. Yes, you do have rights to free speech. You get to protest. But I would also make the case, at a certain point, don't the other people in the room have a right to free speech? Like, they came for an event and the event can't happen. You guys are yelling and playing your music so that no one else can say anything. And so for how long do you get to bang the drums and make noises? Like, you get to do it, you get to show up. But after a few minutes, after 5 minutes, can we move on and have the actual event? I understand that in this day and age, a politician actually showing up to a live event to hear the concerns of their constituents is fairly novel. You might not be familiar with that concept. Everyone used to do it, they don't anymore. And so we do have to balance the right of people to protest, but also the constituents get to have a town hall. Can we do both of those things?
We absolutely can and we should, right? So just because you have the right to free speech doesn't mean you get to take away someone else's right to that speech as well. And I think people misunderstand what free speech means. It doesn't just mean that you can say whatever you want, when you want to, how you want to whoever you want. There are rules and regulations to that, right? And so your free speech, there are limitations depending on where you're at. But this is the issue, when your party says they're the party of free speech, but it's just only for your group of people.
Yeah.
That's when we have an issue, when you're supposed to be the party of the American people and you wanna make America great again, but you're not including Americans. You're just including your own.
100%, exactly. By the way, before we move on, I just wanna point out, they did bring signs. And so one said F AOC, one says F Joe Biden. I thought he was Brandon. Stay on message, people. Anyway, one says, wake up New York. And I just love that their movement is constantly going back and forth between telling people to wake up and then saying that being woke is bad. Wake up, don't be woke. Wake up, don't be woke. It's weird. But also there was a sign that said Agenda 2030, UN is dirty, save humanity. So Agenda 2030 is this UN thing that is the basis of a lot of conspiracy theories. So just to give you an idea of who these people were, they were there to, I guess, support whoever it is that's running against AOC that has absolutely no chance of winning, but also to spread some conspiracy theories. That appears to be who they are. Anyway, with that said, we've got one more topic to close out our hour. Whenever we're ready, why don't we jump in this next video?
I'm a true believer that if MLK, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. were alive today, if JFK were alive today, if our founding fathers were alive today, they would be America first Republicans. I really believe that.
Okay, so that's Carrie Lake. Also notably campaigning with her, Tulsi Gabbard, independent thinker who seems to love Carrie Lake, who rejects the results of the 2020 election and is like one of the most Trump aligned candidates running in this entire cycle. So just bear that in mind. But anyway, her theory there is that every historic figure, I guess, would not only be a Republican, but would be an active supporter of Donald J. Trump. And in particular, Martin Luther King Jr. would just love Donald Trump and his movement, his white supremacist, hateful, give every resource our country has ever produced to the rich movement. I guess I haven't really studied MLK in like an academic context, so I guess I can't say whether that's consistent with his ideology. AB, what do you think?
That is not consistent with his ideology, right?
When Martin Luther,
and this is,
I suspected as much.
This is the funny part with y'all MAGA Republicans, right? Is because you assume when you say American first, again, you keep out a group of Americans that you don't like. When it comes to America first, it doesn't just mean white Americans, affluent white Americans, affluent white men, right? You have to include all Americans who are now citizens, right? So let's be real, like black people is the only people on this earth that's actually legally free, right? Legally Americans. Like there's more than just white people that are Americans. And so what you are saying is that Dr. Martin Luther King's theory that everyone should be created equal, that everyone should have equal rights, that everyone should be able to vote, right? That everyone should have access to healthcare, and that we should love one another would be in alignment with your ideology that we should keep people out from voting. We shouldn't allow immigrants to come into our country, right? We shouldn't tax the wealthy to make it fair for other people. We shouldn't make education accessible to other people. We shouldn't teach about other people's gender preferences. We shouldn't teach about other people's sexual orientations, right? You like that is not in alignment with his theory at all. You guys choose to keep people out of this group and out of American politics and out of American life, and then at the same time want to gaslight us and be like, no, but we're making America first. No, you are making America convenient for you.
Yeah, you're making yourself first in America, basically. You're gonna have to swap those words around, and then it's accurate. Look. It's probably pointless to try to get right wingers to understand, let alone actively research, what MLK thought about foreign policy, what he had to say about Vietnam or something like that, or what he thought about economic policy and how central to his ideology the quest for actual equality, not just in society and culture, but specifically economic equality, freedom and opportunity was to his ideology. Since we can't even get them to accept what he thinks about race explicitly, they don't understand even that. So there's no chance on the economic stuff. But the idea that he would be a fan of the MAGA movement is just ridiculous. I have no idea where he would align right now. My gut says he wouldn't much like either of the two parties, but the idea that everyone would be a fan of you just doesn't make any sense. But anyway, that's our thoughts. Bernice King actually weighed in on Twitter saying, what you share here is false and dismissive of Daddy's seminal work and beliefs, including ending and preventing voter suppression, treating all, including immigrants with dignity. I invite you to study my father via the KingCenterInstitute.org. I'm gonna guess that she's not gonna take Bernice King up on that offer, especially because she untagged herself from that tweet. But why are you untagging yourself from the tweet? I mean, from your view, Bernice King is wrong, and you can do that research, and it will only demonstrate how right you were when you said that he would support the MAGA movement. It seems like you don't actually care about what he thought. You only care to claim him for convenient political purposes. That's what it seems like. Anyway, by the way, and Tulsi Gabbard just sitting there and nodding along and smiling at that. What are you doing? What are you doing, Tulsi? Like, I get that her thing is that she's crafted over the last few years that she's supposed to be like an independent thinker, whatever. How many MAGA candidates can you endorse before that no longer makes much sense anymore? And not just Carrie Lake, but Blake Masters. How can you go from tweeting about how we need to stand against the elitists and all that, and then go and campaign for Blake Masters, who was crafted in a lab by Peter Thiel to advance the interests of the wealthiest people that have ever lived on the face of this earth? Seriously? Okay. I'm not in charge of your career, you are, but this is the road you're taking. Seems like a difficult one. Anyway, with that said, that's gonna be it for the first hour of our show. We got 30 seconds. Thank you to everybody who might've been watching on the linear platforms or listening on the podcast. We always appreciate that. And if you are listening to the podcast, you can head over to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us. It's very helpful. For those of you listening and watching on other platforms though, we do have a lot more to talk about in the aftermath, including updates on what's going on with Elnaz Rakabi over in Iran, Charlie Kirk's thoughts on the NHL and animal news. So you're not gonna wanna miss it. We're gonna be back in just a few. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.